Welcome to Stories from the Wall. Stories from the Wall is a podcast of the National Memorial for the Unborn. And the National Memorial for the Unborn is a ministry that has been, for the past 30 years, honoring children who have been lost to abortion and helping to heal the pain associated with their loss. And today we're going to be chatting with Sue Bradley. Thank you so much, Sue, for agreeing to join us today on our podcast. Yeah,
well, thank you for having me. It's a privilege.
Sure thing. So what I'd like for you to do, I want to call you Pat because you look like that. But Sue, I want you to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, and then we'll start to get some information about your involvement with the memorial. Okay?
Okay. Well, I'm Sue Bradley, and I've been in Chattanooga for approximately 20 years. And I have a son in town, and my other children, one lives in Atlanta, and one lives in Avondale, Pennsylvania. And I have 8 grandchildren. 3 of them are in Chattanooga. So I don't know what I would do if all 8 of them were here, because they, you know, they do, they're a joy, and they take up the time that you'll give them. As they get teenagers, you have to make the time. Mm-hmm. But let's see, what else would you like to know?
Well, how did you end up here in Chattanooga?
I ended up in Chattanooga because my son was here and my first grandchild. I was in Florida for several years, and all of a sudden I started having grandchildren. And so I just wanted to be around family so I could, you know, helpfully help them and also to make a difference in my grandchildren's lives. So.
Okay. So when you got to Chattanooga, Tennessee, how did you hear about the memorial?
Well, I attended a Bible study one morning, and the leader was talking about how grateful she was for her adopted son. And it just kind of hit me between the eyeballs that I could have made that choice, but I did not. So I went to the telephone. I was going to make it right. I called the Nash Memorial, and I was going to make it right. I was going to volunteer, and I was going to set the record straight that how sorry I was and that I wanted to help other women. And so I went to the phone. Oh, it was a difficult decision. And she said, oh, we just happened to have a class starting on Friday. Would you like to attend? And in my head, it was yes, no. Yes, no. And finally, it was, yes, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. So that's how I started with the National Memorial, going through a program.
Okay. And so this is where they were located, right next to Choices, right?
They were located on still on Vance Road.
Yeah. Okay. And so you decided to do this. Was it a post-abortion program that you attended?
Yes.
Okay.
When you volunteer at the National Memorial for the Unborn, one of the questions is, or Choices, I'm sorry, when I started out at Choices.
Sure.
One of the questions is, have you ever had an abortion? And I went, I was just going to volunteer, answer phones and be helpful. Mm-hmm. And then it said, have you ever had an abortion? Well, the time came where I had to say yes. I had kept it a secret for 40 years, and it was time God revealed it to me.
Mm-hmm. So that was probably one of the reasons why you were encouraged to come, not just your son or your grandchildren.
That's right, exactly. I hadn't thought about
God
that.
God had other things in mind for
you. He sure did. He sure did.
And so when you went through the class, tell us about the class then.
The class was very, very freeing, especially when you've kept that secret so long. Just the fact of revealing your story to people that were compassionate, understanding, and they could walk you through the pain of that.
Yes.
And many, many times we know that God forgives us, but it takes a long time for us to forgive ourselves until finally, I don't know if it was in that class or when I went through, yes, it was. There was a point in that, in the book, Save One is what we used. Mm-hmm. Where it said, if you do not forgive yourself, of course, God is the only one that can really forgive you, but if you do not accept that forgiveness, you're saying that what he did on the cross was not enough.
Right.
And what did he say? He said, it is finished. So if you don't accept that, you're technically, you're calling God a liar. And nobody wants to be in that place.
Right. So now tell me a little bit about how you came to the point where you found yourself having an abortion. Share that with us.
Well,
please.
It was back 18. I was not a believer at that time. And it was, I was into the party scene, and it was on a college campus in Rhode Island. And it just, not going into too many details, but it was just a thing, a one-night kind of thing. You know, after alcohol was involved, and then all of a sudden you find out, oh, I'm pregnant, you know? Mm-hmm. And so back then in 1963, it was illegal. So, but once I revealed it to my parents and the father of my child, they took it out of my hands. And so they made all the arrangements, and I went to, I can remember the going up these wooden stairs to this office with the glass front door, you know, and an elderly doctor came in, and he made all the preparations, and then he came in and said, I'm sorry, I can't do this today. I don't have the $2,000. And that was back in 1963.
Wow.
So my dad had taken me reluctantly, but I had to go home and come back the next day and face the same situation.
Wow.
So, but that was, as looking back, that was all part of God's plan for me, even though you don't see it at the time, because of what he's brought forth today mm-hmm. from that mm-hmm. experience.
Right. So now, when you went through the post-abortion recovery program, mm-hmm. you said it was the Save One curriculum,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn anything about your child during that time?
Oh,
did God
yes.
reveal anything? Tell us about
that.
Oh,
yes, that. Yes. And, yeah, and it's kind of a building process. He doesn't give you everything at one time. The Save One program, and now the one that I have in my Healing Hands program, it's a step by step. Initially, the program was 12 weeks, but they have now cut it down to 6 weeks because it's more intense and it's, you know, you can get to the point. To answer your question, you were asking me
about your child.
Yes, definitely. Well, gosh, there's a chapter where you you reflect on your child. What mm-hmm. do you think would be the characteristics or whatever? And it was on a Mother's Day, and I was on the porch, and it was revealed to me that it was a boy, and God will bring to mind what the child is. If he doesn't, sometimes I have rarely seen where it's not revealed for what the child is, and also what the name is, mm-hmm. and which is really miraculous. I've seen it over and over again, but I don't make the girls feel badly if they don't have that connection, because sometimes it's just they have what they would refer to as a precious child or an angel or a blessing. So it's just what God reveals to you. And he did reveal to me that it was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it came about when I was in Japan. I met with a lady who was going to be a speaker at one of our women's things, and she said to me, I was going to take her shopping all around Japan, and she said, Sue, I would like to speak to you first in the parking lot we were sitting in. She said, God has revealed to me that you have a burden on your shoulder, and I have come to tell you that he said it is finished. Uh-huh. And she revealed to me at that point that it was a baby boy. And that's exactly, that's not why I thought it was a baby boy. He revealed it to me personally also.
Yeah, that's just a confirmation.
It was a confirmation, yes.
Okay, and so did he reveal the name as well?
Yes, he did. Because there was no animosity toward the dad, I named him after the dad.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the most interesting things about that, the name was Craig, which I don't mind revealing. And the most interesting thing about that is when I came to Chattanooga, I went up to Sevierville for the weekend conference that they have and healing program. And at the choices, they would pray for 3 months ahead of time for those that were going to go on the retreat. Well, my prayer partner was Craig.
Ah.
And so he was there during the conference. And when it came time for us to release our babies to God and to heaven, I was frozen we were in the church, and I was frozen in the pew. Craig was supposed to go home and have parking lot duty, but he said God, you know, revealed to him to stay. So I was the last one, kind of in a fetal position in the pew. And he came up and he said, put his arm around me, and he went forward with me and he said, we can do this. Mm-hmm. We can do this.
Yeah.
So that was another confirmation that was not coincidental.
Right. Now, do your adult children know about your...
Yes. It was really, really interesting. I was able to tell them kind of one at a time. That's a very difficult thing, but it's also a very freeing thing because you have no idea how they're going to respond.
Right.
My middle child said, oh, I think I'm going to throw up. And then he said, was it Dad? And I said, no. I said, but it doesn't matter. Either way, I said, it's a child that's your brother is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just interesting how each one responds to it. And I really don't know to this day of what my daughter really thinks about it. You know, so you just have to put it out there and trust God with the results.
Right.
But it is it's another step in your healing process that will only come about when God gives you the strength to do that.
And you have that freedom, too.
Yes. The freedom is the most important part of it, and if you hold on to any little part of it instead of revealing it, you won't get that complete healing.
Okay, so you've been a volunteer with Choices.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in helping other women?
Well, the Choices at that time had a program called Arise, and they still have that program, I believe. And of course, they've had a lot of change in hand and policy. I was with them for several years, but I still had it in my home because it's not just a Bible study. I do a lot of hands-on, and I live alone, so I have plenty of confidentiality, and so I would use different rooms for different things, and I would use videos and visuals, and so I brought it into my home through the Arise. And I would take them the paperwork. We would start like on a Friday, and I would take them the paperwork on Monday morning.
Oh, and by the way, I should tell everybody that Choices is the pregnancy resource center here in
Chattanooga. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I just thought about it. Like, people are listening to this, and they don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But Choices is the pregnancy resource center here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And so they have a number of programs that they do that addresses post-abortion healing for men and for women now.
Yes, and so I was with that Arise program for several years, and then they had to change their policy that they wanted the paperwork to come down to the office before they would come into my home. But when you take that step to come to a program, God just would bring the people to me, and it would be very, very difficult for me to say, well, I'm sorry, you have to go downtown and fill out more paperwork. So at that point, my co-leader and myself went with Save One. We're sanctioned by Save One International Ministry through our church, and we're called Healing Hands. So it doesn't matter where you get your healing. If you're not in Chattanooga, or if you are in Chattanooga, there's a couple of places that you can go. But if you're, this is broadcast for throughout, you just go to your local crisis pregnancy center and seek help.
Yes. So, because we are definitely wanting you who are listening and who've had that abortion experience to experience the healing that God has for you. And so we, if you don't have, are not aware of the local pregnancy center in your area, you can go on our website at www.memorialfortheunborn.org, and we have a resources page there. We have listings for organizations throughout the country. We have listings for hotlines where you can get immediate information and help. And so we want you to make sure that we want to make sure that you know that there are healing resources available to you. And there are so many different curriculum. Save One is one of them.
Yes.
I did the Forgiven and Set Free. There's Surrendering the Secret. There are many. And you will find help whatever region of the country you happen to be in. You'll be able to find the help that you need. So, yes, definitely listen to Pat and I want to call her Pat. Her name is Sue. I know
that's
that
it's okay.
Sue.
It's all right. I look like a Pat.
But she looks like a Pat to me. And there's a lady that she looks just like whose name is Pat. But her name is Sue Bradley, and I'm so grateful for her showing up today and being a part of this podcast. Yeah. So tell us when you
I just add
yes, go ahead.
That I would be happy if they're out of town to have anybody email me if they had a question.
Oh, okay.
And then if you're local, the same thing, and I would be able to tell you when the classes would be started. But if anyone has any question, you know, real kind of personal question that they'd like to ask me, I'd be happy to, and I'd give you my email.
Okay, go ahead and tell them.
Okay, it's SHB and then Bradley, BRADLEY at gmail.com.
Okay, again, that's SHB Bradley, which is spelled BRADLEY at gmail.com.
Yes.
Okay, so walk us through what you guys do when someone contacts you about post-abortion healing.
Okay. Usually, I'll have a daytime session if people are working, because there are several elderly people that that have kept the secret, like, you know, 30 years, 20 years, 40 years. So I want to make that available for them, and then usually Thursday nights, and it's usually maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours max, and it's a 6-week program followed up by a memorial service at the National Memorial for the Unborn, and like I mentioned before, it's a building process, and it's very intense, and we ask if they'd like us to send a letter to their spouse, that they're going to be working through some difficult areas, and, you know, appreciate their support. And then we ask them if they would like a prayer partner, that we would either give no name, first name, or whatever they, you know, whatever they'd like. Would they like to be contacted periodically or not? So you have the total freedom to go through this at whatever level you are.
Okay.
And your healing. And then, like I mentioned, we do several hands-on things. And there is a reading on the side, and we review some of the highlights in the Save One book. And it's all connected, you know. It's all connected. And you can see the progress from the first day when they walk through the door till it goes from the horror and the you know, the stigma of abortion to honoring your child with joy.
Yes.
It goes, in that short time, God works miracles.
Yes, he does. Because he always has.
Yes.
That's
his business.
So tell us a little bit about the memorial services that you do.
Oh, the memorial services, yes. Mm. Well, every time, they're different because they're just tailor-made to the person. And sometimes we'll have maybe two girls, or sometimes if God only brings one through the door. I've had as many as four, and that's really a good amount. You know, larger than that, it's not like a group Bible study. It's a real personal, intimate, and they get to bond with each other. So, but like I said, God never tells me to worry about numbers. He said, whoever I bring to you, that's who I brought.
Mm-hmm.
So then we'll go through the service. One of the exercises that they do during the training part is they take a mug and they smash it. And all during that 6 weeks, they get to put it together and be with the Lord. And there are cracks and there are holes, but that's where the Holy Spirit can work through those broken parts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they bring that to the memorial service, and they tell about their experience a lot of times, what it was like to rebuild. And of course, we have music, and we have a speaker of hope. And like I said, each one is different. We try to personalize it to what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember one time someone did a dance, you know, I don't know what you call them, a faith dance or whatever, that because she was a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Another one brought a beautiful, beautiful pair of wings that had, the feathers were scriptures that she had learned from everything.
Oh, wow.
And so they just, God gives them very creative ways to express their gratitude and their joy.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So I know that there are a lot of people that do the balloon releases,
oh,
or
yes,
they do the
mm-hmm.
flowers, and
yeah.
So you, like you said, it's tailor-made to whatever the
yes,
participants are
yes.
interested
we
in.
We do step outside afterwards, and mm-hmm. And of course it depends on, because we're not near the ocean, so we're not being, you know, we're not disturbing the wildlife and stuff with the balloons, but it's their choice, too, if they want to release a balloon, but
mm-hmm.
that is very because they're standing out on the rocks. If you've never been to the National Memorial, there's a garden of rocks that it represents each child. So they're standing in those rocks, and they're releasing their balloon and their
mm-hmm.
baby to the Lord. So it's a precious time.
And have you had a lot of people that have actually had their abortions at that former abortion site?
Actually, Sheila Harper was one
mm-hmm.
who did.
Yes, and she's the one who's over Save One, right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And that was, and actually she's come back and spoken, you know, for the sanctity of human life. But not too many, because a lot of times they would go out of town.
Okay.
Or people who are transplanted, like myself, you know. So there's really all different experiences of places and that people have been. And of course, most of them now, since it was legal, you know. And so I had to get over the fact that it was illegal too. I had to ask forgiveness for that. And I had to own it, even though it was taken away from me, and I was relieved that I didn't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought.
Right.
But the afterwards was, it was every time there was a baby, you'd think, or every time it was the anniversary date. You know how that is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's brought such joy and I don't know which is freedom. I guess that mm-hmm. would be freedom, that we're going to see these children.
Yes,
in heaven.
That's it. It's
yes,
we will be reunited with them.
Yes.
We will be able to see them. And I always try to picture what that reunion is going to look like, because so the anticipation is what's bringing
yes.
me such joy.
Yes,
knowing that yeah. I'm going to see my child. And for those of you who are not aware, the National Memorial for the Unborn is indeed located on the site of the former abortion clinic here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's been there for 30 years. God and his wisdom and his power enabled the pro-life community here to be able to purchase that site when the building was in bankruptcy. And he, through his wisdom and his foresight, allowed for the memorial to be established so that children who have been lost to abortion can be honored, and so that he could bring healing to the lives of their parents. And so we are so grateful to him for having done that. We're grateful for Sue and for all of those who, who out there who help bring healing to those who have experienced abortion and who help to honor those children because they were indeed created in the image of God and after his likeness. And so we thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much, Sue, for being with us and sharing us with us a part of your story and
absolutely
what God has given you to do in this community. We're grateful for your presence with us today. Thank you guys for tuning in. We really appreciate that. And if you have a story, if you have an abortion story, or if you know of someone who has a nameplate on the wall and would be interested in sharing their story, we are Stories from the Wall.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a podcast of the National Memorial for the Unborn. So if you have a story and you want to get in touch with us, please email us at office@memorialfortheunborn.org. Again, that's office@memorialfortheunborn.org. And we would be happy to schedule a time for you to come and share that information with us. And for those of you who listen to the podcast, make sure that you like it and share it. Thank you so much for joining us today.